chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. Let's stand tonight for the reading of God's Word. If I could have a little more volume, Brother John, if I'm on, I think I am. Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, "Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches." Man, just reading verses 2 and 3 is encouraging to me. It's refreshing that you could read something like that in the Bible, that God is that practical with our life. The Bible tells us through wisdom is an house built. I want to preach to you tonight for a few minutes on the matter of designing for life. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the opportunity tonight to be alive. We're so grateful, Lord, that we're saved. Thank you for the amazing grace of God and the precious blood of Jesus. Thank you so much for giving us the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Lord, that guide of all truth. And thank you that you've given us the book of truth that he can lead us to. And Lord, I pray that as you lead us through these passages and in this thought processes tonight, that you would please give us wisdom. Lord, you promised that if anyone would lack that lacks wisdom, if we would ask, that you would give it to us. And you wouldn't take it back. And you would give it to us in an abundant way. And so, Lord, I pray for us tonight. Thank you so much for these that are here, for their heart and endeavor to be in the house of God. I pray that you'd bless that in them. God, there's a good spirit in here tonight. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the wonderful services on Sunday. God, the tremendous testimonies from our young people. And then, the Lord, the responses from all of our congregation on Sunday night was amazing and very humbling. Lord, it's a great proof that you're not done with us here. For that, we're grateful. Lord, tonight, I yield myself to you afresh and anew, and I beg of you to please help me. Lord, I need to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain, and I need your help to do that so that I could crucify my affections and lusts, that I would have the privilege of being filled with your Spirit so that I could be used as a vessel meet for your use. Lord, that you would just pour into and out of me your message. Lord, that your people would be helped. Lord, give us a desire for not just the Word of God, but for God. Lord, as we find you, I pray that we would never thirst again. And I pray that you would satisfy our soul tonight. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Toward the end of the 4th and the beginning of the 3rd century B.C., there was a very famous architect by the name of Sostratos. The king of Egypt acquired and used him in order to build what we know as the famous Beacon Light of Alexandria. I think we have a picture of that. And this was a light outpost on the north, the very north and semi-eastern tip of Africa. The king's purpose in building this beacon of light was that the ships might find their way into the safety of the port. And when the building was completed, the architect, I think we may have a picture of him as well. Do we have a picture of him? Sostratos chiseled his own name on a stone that was part of the building. He did not want it to be readily visible, and so he covered it with mud and whitewash. On top of that, he wrote with gold letters the king's name so that when the waves hit the mud, it would actually wash it away and his own name would appear. Now, I think we have one more picture of it. This was actually one of the ancient seven wonders of the world, and it was the second to last to finally be destroyed as they took the stones and they built some additional things in Egypt. But this story of this architect and chiseling his own name in stone and then putting some mud and very decorative labeling on the outside did it with one heart, and that is when it was all said and done, when the waves were to hit it, that once the outward name was removed, people would truly know who built the lighthouse. Similarly, God's design for your life and mine is to be a light. The Bible says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men with reason, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." You see, I'm under the impression that God designed my life with a surname on this earth. But when the waves of circumstance or the storms of hardship or something hurtful comes into my life, he's designed it so that if all is right on the inside, what's going to wash away is my name, and what will show will be his name. People would actually see that when Kyle is dipped into the hot water, Brother Randy, that what would come out of the tea bag would be the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the light of God's gospel is not shining from our lives, it is because we've decided to make a boat dock rather than a lighthouse. Instead of pointing people to safety in Christ, we are attracting people to only what we have to offer, which I think you'd agree in the end is really nothing that eternally matters. I have nothing to give you, Justin. I have nothing to give you, but Christ in me does. I have nothing to give you, Brother Florsinger, but Christ in me does. My life is not to allow you to come to me as a boat dock, but rather I'm to be a lighthouse that's supposed to shine the radiant face of Jesus Christ to you. Now, in our brief time tonight, I want us to assume that everyone in here wants God to design and build their lives to include all the pleasures and all the pleasantries promised in His Word. Notice what it goes back and says in verse 4, "And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches." That being assumed, I'd like us to consider three important factors for designing and building a life to the glory of God. Now, don't raise your hand, but again, I want us to assume that everybody in the building tonight wants to be the building God wants their lives to become. That you want to be the lighthouse, that you actually don't want notoriety. You don't want the gold flake letters to be your name. What you would rather have people see is all that being gone. You would rather like them to see Jesus Christ. You would rather wear that banner. You would rather wear that nameplate. And so if we are going to build a life, and whether you're building a home, whether you're building a marriage, whether you're building a single life, whether you're building a Sunday school class or a bus route or a church, whatever you are building, God says, listen, I want you to understand that it's my design that you need to have at the forefront. And my design is what matters eternally. I have something in mind for you, and I want you to let me build it. Now, if we're going to do that, number one, I think you'd agree with me, is we got to have the right contractor. We got to have the right contractor. I believe it's assumed that if you're a born-again believer, that you can't design and build a life for God by the world's standard. How many would agree with me? You just can't do it. Turn in your Bible to Psalm 1, and you see this. If I'm going to have a fruitful life, Brother George, for the glory of God, then I have to make sure that I have the right designer. I have to have the right contractor. I have to have the one that knows better than I. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the what? In the what? The law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, if you want to build a house and don't know how to do it right, you have to hire a contractor to do it. Someone who knows about houses. Someone who knows the building code. Someone who knows the place you want to build. And you have to go out on a limb and watch this. You got to trust them. And you may not even know him very well, but you're going to have to trust him. You want that contractor to be reputable. You hope that that contractor is reliable, and you definitely want him to be reasonable. So you have to go, and you have to trust this individual. Can I say this? When it comes to building a life for this world, I don't know of a better design builder than God himself. I really don't. I don't think you'll find a better offer in all of the universe that would help your life become the lighthouse it's supposed to be for the glory of God outside of God himself. I don't think that you're going to find it. In fact, I can emphatically say you will never find it outside of God. Now, let's just think about God as the contractor. Letter A, his personal resume is very impressive. If you really want your life to so shine before men, your light to so shine before men, think about God's resume. Consider Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Psalm 8 and verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Psalm 8 and verse 3, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? I remember way back in Genesis, I remember reading on several of occasions that when God finished all of his creation and he created man, that it was all good. Everything God does is that way. When you look at God as the contractor for building your life so that you could actually be the design God has for you, his resume is quite impressive. Secondly, his plans are inspirational. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. So now I know that everything God has in his plan for me is perfect, that it is God-breathed. Brother Greg is going to be teaching on that a little bit on Sunday morning, so I'll leave that alone. His resume is very impressive. His plans are inspirational. All I have to do is read them, and you can see religiously how, right from the pages, you kind of get the idea of this is what God wants my life to be. They're very inspirational. Thirdly, let us see, his process is incorruptible. His process is incorruptible. Jeremiah 18 and verse 4, and the vessel that he made of clay, speaking of God as the potter, was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. You know, I found a parallel passage in Lamentations 4 and verse 2 about the people of God, specifically Israel. The Bible says, the precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold, how are they esteemed as earthen pitchers? The work of the hands of the potter. Did you know that God is not done processing you yet? He is still pressuring you yet. He's still trying to make you into a potter that is good, not just by his standards, but for his good pleasure. He is still in the business of fashioning and creating, though we be sons of men. He's creating us into the vessels that he could use and honor. His process is completely incorruptible. Fourthly, his patience is impeccable. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, interesting thing about contractors, sometimes they have to deal with unreasonable people. You know what I found by reading the Word of God? Dealing with fickle and failing people is his specialty. You think about how God has tried in your life, but think about the annals of time that we have in recorded inspired truth from the beginning of mankind to date, all that God has tried to do with people who just flip-flop all over the place. People who they think, yes, okay, this is what I want, but I want that instead. That's like a change order. But Brother Steve knows about change orders. They're very expensive. They very are. And contractors have to learn to deal with fickle and failing people. I'm thankful that our God, but thou, O Lord, our God, art a God full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. How many would say, Pastor, now that we're in kind of far into this, number one, I'm thankful that God's been long-suffering with me in my life. I mean, let's look. He's the design builder of our life, and sometimes we think we know what we want, and we know, rarely do we, if we're honest, really truly agree with all of God's processes and what he wants. And so when we flip-flop back and forth from Sunday to Tuesday to Wednesday to Saturday, God says, I'm still in control. It's okay, I understand. I've dealt with your kind before. You're kind of my specialty, dealing with fickle and falling people. I was attracted to the verses. You don't have them in your notes. Numbers 14:11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I've showed among them? God says, I've done all of this, and they still doubt my power. They still doubt my goodness. They still doubt my provision. They still doubt my protection. They're doubting my processes, and yet they are completely impeccable. Numbers, again, in chapter 14 says, in verse 27, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Proverbs 4, O you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Look, that just reeks to me of Scripture, of a God who's very long-suffering. He just knows how to deal with people who are fickle and who are failing. People who are faithless over and over again. His patience is impeccable. Man, what a great contractor. Fifthly, letter E. And this is kind of where we need to start thinking internally about our own heart. His price is non-negotiable. His price is non-negotiable. Now, the Bible says, through wisdom. Now, we could go back, and I'm not going to re-preach the messages, but wisdom comes from God. Wisdom really is God. He's the source of it all. You could argue, and we preached the messages, two or three of them, wisdom is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him is an house builded. By understanding, it's established. So, if I'm going to be the structure that God has designed for my life, I have to pay His price. What's the price? Full disclosure. So what do you mean? Well, let me just say this. Though we know from Hebrews that all things before God are naked and open in His sight, there's nothing hid from Him. But sometimes we pray and live as though there are some things hidden. So we don't pray about some things or don't concern God with some things, and yet what does He really want? He wants us to get to the point where we are willingly giving Him full disclosure of our life. Here's what it sounds like from the psalmist in Psalm 139. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. It's a open, contrite, and honest and confessing heart that says, God, my sin is ever before me. I acknowledge mine iniquity before you. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. In fact, it's going another step and saying, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. Full disclosure, God, I want you to try me. And if you can't try me in my integrity, then please don't deal with me according to my iniquity. Once you find it, I'm giving you full disclosure. You can have all that I am. Like we preach Sunday night. Full disclosure. Secondly, His price is total dedication. What is that? Wholehearted love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Psalm 119 and verse 2, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. What does He want? Full disclosure. God, You have every right to every area of my life. However you want to build this living room, however you want to build this library, however you want to build this entertainment center, God, you have full disclosure, I'm giving it to you. And then He says, well, what I want then is your heart. I don't want part of it, I want all of it. I want you to love me preeminently above all things. I don't want you to seek your own way, I want you to seek my way. Blessed are they that walk in His ways. And then thirdly, this is the hardest price to pay, perhaps more than all. He requires complete discretion. In other words, it's the point that we come to realize that our life is not our own. That what He wants to build in us is not for us or of us. It is for Him and of Him. We could probably all say it out loud if you know it by memory, say it with me by memory. If you don't know it by memory, I think it's in your notes. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Ready? Begin. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your... And be not conformed to this world, say it with me, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. That's what He says. Complete discretion. What does that mean? That God gets to do with me whatever He wants to do with me. That I would say to the Lord, yes. I want you to go, yes. I want you to come, yes. I want you to speak, yes, I will. I want you to love, yes, I will. I want you to train, I will. I want you to have spiritual character. Yes, sir, I will. I want you to develop a love and compassion for people? Yes, sir, I will. That is complete discretion. That is me saying yes to God. At any point along the way, you may not like the construction going on, and it's at that point that God requires complete discretion. Well, Lord, I agreed that this is what I wanted. I agreed that this is what you wanted in my life, and I gave you that, but I don't like the way you're going about it. I would prefer you do it a different way. And God says, you know, I can appreciate your opinion, but I need you to remember that my ways are higher than yours, and that makes them better. And you of all people, Kyle, understand that if you take a shortcut when you're trying to build something, it's going to cost you more. And it's not going to be quite as good because you're trying to shortcut the processes. Well, that's a pretty high price to pay. Complete discretion? You mean I have to give God full disclosure? I have to completely, totally dedicate myself to any and everything that He has. I've got to love Him and trust Him unconditionally, and He gets full control? Yeah. You must trust in what He is doing is best. Now, not if you don't want the right contractor. But if you don't have the right contractor, you're never going to build the right building. If you're going to build the building that God's going to use so that when the waves of hardship come and people are going to see His name, then He has to be the design builder because He knows where to put His name. But if you use a different contractor, then you'll get to put your name on it. And you won't be building a lighthouse, you'll be building a boat dock. Our God's the right contractor for designing our lives. Number two, right here in the text, I find not just the right contractor, but I find the right materials. Now, this kind of jumped up on me this afternoon, and I kind of was looking at it, and I kind of got a little mathy, Miss Gridley. I literally got a little mathy, and you know, whenever I can do that, I get excited. At some point, and this is kind of funny, I hope, at some point, all children have to be taught the art of dressing themselves. Okay, at some point. All of our children have to be taught the art of dressing themselves. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm hoping that some of you older folks will remember something that I had when I was little. You guys ever remember Dapper Dan? You do? Ooh, thank you, friend. Is that the name of it? I thought it was. It's a little doll that had a zipper and some buttons. You guys remember that? Shoelace. Yeah, so you got to tie a shoe, zip a zipper, butt a button, and snap a snap, and it was cut. You guys are looking at me like, I think you're just, no, I got a witness. Anybody else remember it? Okay, good, okay, whew, I feel better. I think there was one for girls, but I didn't get that one. Luckily, I got the one for boys, okay. At first, I thought it was Raggedy Ann and Andy, but I think that's totally separate. That was my friend had those dolls. But anyway, so Dapper Dan, what was Dapper Dan? Well, he basically taught kids like me. I don't know if maybe my parents were lazy and didn't want to teach me. Here's the doll. Maybe he'll figure out life. But, you know, snap, zip, button, we'll do whatever I got to do. And it worked. But we got to teach them the art of dressing themselves. Not only how to snap, button, zip, or buckle, which sometimes we remember and sometimes we don't, but also what shirt goes with what pants. Now, how many have ever had their kids come out and everything they have on does not go at all? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. I'm talking about neon orange here and like purple up here and a sock or two that are maybe or maybe not match and all that kind of stuff. So color coordination is always good. I suppose not always necessary, but it's good. At times, my children also would have to be taught the importance of seasons, what not to wear when it's 100 degrees outside. They come out and they have this coat on and a scarf, and you're like, you're going to suffocate and die. What are you doing? At the same time, what to wear and what not to wear when it's 40. You know, I've had Austin, I love Austin, all Austins in general. I love all Austins, but Austin was forever, he ever wanted to be in shorts, a tank top, and flip-flops. It didn't matter. If it was Christmas time, he wanted to be in shorts and a tank top. Braden has got a chill on him all the time, and he always wants to have clothing and warm clothing on him. And sometimes the seasons don't match what they have, but you got to teach him to do that. It has to do with what goes with what and when and where. You could argue discretion. You have to teach your kids how to match and what goes where and when and why. Well, when it comes to building a life, I praise God for the fact that He knows the best way to build a life that makes a difference. He knows what goes with what. He knows where and when. He knows where it all goes and just the right way to display it. Now, I want you to look in the text and you'll find three words. The words wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Can you see those in there? Underline them if you find them. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. All of those have been repeated excessively in the study in Proverbs. In fact, you'll find the word understanding 64 times. You'll find the word knowledge 42 times. You will find the word wisdom 54 times. All in total, you'll find all three of those elements mentioned 160 times in the book of Proverbs. Now, twice and only twice will you find all three of them mentioned in one passage. Our text is one of them, are the two verses. But in one verse, in Proverbs 2 and verse 6, the Bible says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." So I'm taking it that anything that's repeated 160 times in the Word of God is something that we need to know and have. And so God repeats them over and over. These are the materials that God sets in our context that He wants to use to build your life and mine. Let me ask you a question. Do you have any of them? Because they all come from God. Make sure you don't make the mistake of searching for wisdom without searching for God. That you don't search for understanding or knowledge without searching for God. Don't search for the knowledge of God without knowing God, without searching for Him alone. That's a mistake that we make sometimes. Now, let's just take these words and break them down, and let's do it in reverse order here in the text. Go back, if you will, and look at verse 4. "And by the knowledge shall the chambers be filled with..." into verse 3. "And by understanding..." And the reason I'm starting here is because it says it is established. So in other words, that's kind of the foundation of it all. And I believe we've mentioned this before, but I want you to consider letter A, the understanding of God's will. If I understand God and I understand His design for my life and I'm completely yielded to it, then what I want or should want is the understanding of His will. One of the scariest times in a person's life is when they have no idea what God wants them to do. It's scary. If they care, that is. If they care to do what God wants them to do, then not doing it is a fearful place. I don't want to mess up. I don't want to marry the wrong person. I don't want to live in the wrong place. I don't want to go to the wrong church. I don't want to listen to the wrong teacher. I don't want to have the wrong Bible. I don't want to have the wrong doctrine. I certainly don't want to go the wrong direction in my life. I want to have an understanding of His will. And the Bible indicates that that's very important for our lives. I've got to come to the understanding of God's will for my life, what that entails and why, how He expects me to live this life that He's given to me. Now notice I think you have a Colossians 1 in verse 9. The Bible says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be, notice, filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Stop. All three of the words. Did you see them? Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Paul said, look, for you Christians in Colossae, which by the way he never went to, I want you to know that we have prayed that you would have all three of these words, that you would know God's will for your life and you would understand what that is for you. Notice verse 10. "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord into all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Listen to me. If you are going to have the right elements that you are going to offer to the right contractor to build your life, then you've got to come to terms with what God wants you to do every day of your life. I'm not talking about necessarily a vocational direction, albeit I believe God directs that, but He will never show you the great ultimate plan for your life until you understand and are committed to the daily plan for your life. people all over the world want to know, does God want me to do this? Does God want me to do that? Well, let me ask you a question. Are you doing or being what God wants you to do today? And have you been faithful in doing that? Because that's when God called Paul to go plant churches. He had the plan in Acts chapter 9, and he surrendered to that plan. But he didn't get sent all the way till Acts chapter 13. There was a lot of time that went by, in fact, 3 years, before Paul actually got to do. Well, he couldn't actually do until he was faithful in understanding and being. And so while they ministered, then the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work which I've called them thereto. So we have to have an understanding of God's will. Do you understand what God wants you to do and be every day of your life? Because that's the first material. He's got to have something to work with. And we are responsible to give him that. Secondly, the knowledge, as it speaks to knowledge here in verse 4, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. This is the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. The knowledge of our Savior. Now, it's interesting to me that in 2 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, this is very important because the life and death of Jesus Christ, his purpose and how he lived it, demonstrates to me how to execute what I know from Scripture if my life is going to be what God has it. It also shows me that I can do any and all that God wants me to do. How? By knowing the Lord Jesus. By having a knowledge of the Savior. Not just a bunch of stories about having some fish and loaves and feeding 5,000 or raising a dead man or giving the deaf his hearing again or having the blind have sight. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the knowledge of Christ. I'm not talking about just being saved. I'm talking about what was his life for? How did he live it? How am I supposed to pattern my life after him if I am truly a disciple? Knowing Christ and knowing that he was our chief example, that I could, according to that very author, Peter, follow in his footsteps. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. If any man come after me and deny not himself, he cannot be my disciple. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ set an example to give you hope. He died and rose again to give you hope. He lived and fought off every temptation and trial known to mankind because he knows all about how we have to live to give you hope. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand. Why? So that you could resist and not have to resist unto blood. So that you would faint not. Oh, you see, the right materials are that I would have an understanding. Okay, God, I know and I submit. This is what you want me to do. That arms me with information, and information is power. More people are interested about what Google has to say about their health or about their bank book than the Bible has to say about God's will for your life. Somebody say amen. Spend far too much time looking for the answer to everything else in our problem rather than combing the pages for our Savior. And saying, God, I don't want to just have an understanding about your will. I want to know the Lord Jesus in an intimate way because he is my only source of hope. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In fact, he precedes that statement with saying in Philippians 4, look in your notes, I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Both the knowledge of my Savior's suffering and the knowledge of my Savior's triumph give me hope for every situation of my life. Write this down. I'm not alone. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was like we are, were, or are, touched and tempted in all points, yet without sin. So I know that there is no temptation taken me, but such as is common to man, but my God is faithful. Will not suffer me to be tempted above that which I am able, but will with the temptation also make a way for me to escape, so that I'll be able to bear it. Knowledge of the Savior. Let us see, the third material necessary is biblical wisdom. biblical wisdom. Through wisdom is in house builded. Ephesians 5 and verse 16 tells us, and I think we sometimes forget this little bitty verse, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Oh, we remember redeeming the time, and we like to use that as parents. Redeem the time, redeem the time. But God's admonition of redeeming the time has a context of the days in which we live. Redeeming the time for the days of evil, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now watch this. Knowing wisdom is knowing who God is and what He wants me to do and the willingness to do it in spite of pressure or persecution. That's what wisdom is. I know my God. I know Him through my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know what He wants for my life. Now I'm going to take all that He has given me and I'm going to rightly apply them regardless of pressure, regardless of persecution, regardless of people. I'm going to do that which pleases the Lord. God can work with that. He can work with the knowledge of Christ in a life. He can work with the understanding of a will and a desire to do all of that. J.I. Packer said, wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goal together with the surest means of attaining it through Christ. Psalm 19 and verse 9 tells us about biblical wisdom. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Is that not what it says? And by the knowledge shall chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So to build or to have the life that God's designed for us, we've got to have the right contractor. And we have said that that's God. God is the best designer for life. Would you agree that God makes no mistakes? Okay. 10 of you do. Would you agree that God makes no mistakes? Good. When you go to bed tonight and you think of all the mistakes happening in your life, wait a minute. Pastor reminded me tonight, God, that you make no mistakes, so I trust you. He's the right contractor. He cannot fail. There's some things God cannot do. He cannot fail by virtue of who He is. Okay? Secondly, I must have the right materials, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. I've got to obtain them so I can offer them and say, here, take what you need and build my life. I want to know all that you have for me, and I want to submit to that. And I know that I can go through it because Christ did it for me. Okay? Thirdly, we've got to have the right interior designer. The right interior designer. I learned a long time ago that our house is best decorated by my wife. A long time ago. If it were up to most husbands, George, the only things that'd be on the walls would be various kinds of stuffed dead animals, some pictures of our favorite Ford trucks, Brother Steve, a scattered array of diverse memories of vacations past, perhaps a gun rack, but we got to have a refrigerator. All right? Interior design, I think most of us would agree, is not all that important to most men. But the interior design of your life, that is what's on the inside, is very important to God. Because He lives there. He lives there. If you're a child of God tonight, you can't be without His Spirit. Because if you don't have His Spirit, the Bible says you're none of His. If you're born again, He lives there. So what's on the inside is very important. Because of that, His Holy Spirit is best suited to make sure that what is on the inside, watch, matches the glory that He's working for the outside. John chapter 16, verse 13 explains, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He should not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He shall show you things to come. He, the Holy Spirit of truth, when He comes, shall glorify Me. For He, the Holy Spirit of truth, living in you, which is to come, He shall receive of Mine and show it unto you. So the Bible tells us here, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now, Again, I'm not the greatest interior designer in the world, but I'm thankful that I have a wife that cares for the presentation of our home. It kind of flows. It kind of makes sense. Similarly, the Holy Spirit of God wants what's on the inside of your building, your tabernacle, to flow with truth. He wants to be able to go through each and every chamber of my life smoothly. No barriers. You could say it this way. He wants it all to go together. He wants it all to make sense. You know, if it were up to us guys, we'd have, man alive, we'd just be all over the place as far as color coordination. Who cares if the furniture matches anyway? Give me a Lazy Boy or remote control. Who cares? You know what I mean? That's the way most of us think. We just don't think about all that. We don't really care necessarily about the picture hanging in the dining room or the big mirror. We don't really necessarily care about the cost, don't get me wrong, but we don't necessarily care if there's, like, you know, if a Thomas Kincaid or if it's a real valuable painting, because at the end of the day, when we walk in and we start undressing at the door and throwing stuff away, we're not paying attention to that. We're not looking at it and going, wow, I'm sure glad we got that up on the wall. We're saying, is dinner ready? That's what we're thinking about. But see, God cares what's on your walls. He cares what's in the chambers. And by the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and Him speaking to the Holy Spirit then brings to our chambers, when we have given the contractor full disclosure and total discretion, He says, this goes in that corner, and this goes in that wall, and this over here goes in this bedroom, and that goes in the closet. I'm making sure the chambers are filled specifically. That's what He says. Now notice the two words. They're very interesting words. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all, notice the two words, precious and pleasant. Can we say those two words together? Ready? Precious and, let's say them again. Precious and, okay. Let me give you what those are. The interior designer wants to make sure that our hearts have two things. The chambers are filled with two kinds of riches. First of all, He's addressing that which is of value. The word precious has to do with value. In fact, it has to do with great value. Now watch this. The Bible says in Proverbs 3 and verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. All things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. God wants to put something in your heart that is valuable. According to the Word of God itself, there is nothing, dear friend, more valuable to God in your heart than His very precious word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against God. By the way, the chambers are filled. There happens to be four chambers to every heart. I don't think any of the, I'm not going to go into that. I just don't think anything's by accident. I think God knew exactly what He was saying when He said it. And I don't think I have to defend it. God, so what I want in there is the Word of God. It's more valuable than anything. You have a God-given wisdom. You take my commandments and put it in there. I'm telling you, it's valuable in every area of your life. It's valuable. It's precious. It's precious to me. And what I value, since I'm the one building the life, you need to see it's valuable also. Valuable. Precious. All precious. It is more than obvious when God is not doing the interior design of a life, is it not? It's more than obvious. When people are not acting out of a biblical wisdom. It's more than obvious. This, none of this even resembles the Holy Spirit's guiding of truth. It's obvious to us that what's being said and what's being done and what we know has nothing to do with that. The Word of God. more than obvious when God is not doing the interior design of a life, because what goes in always comes out. God designs truth, not a lie. God designs peace, listen, not anger. God designs kindness and sweetness, listen, not bitterness. 1 Peter chapter 3. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Listen, which is in the sight of God a great price. You know what God wants to decorate on the inside of your life tonight? Something valuable. He wants to take His word. He wants to take out of it some love. He wants to put it on this wall. He wants to take out of it some peace and set it over here in the corner so that you can go there and sit, relax, put your feet up for a while. He wants to take out of it some love. He wants to put it right on your door so that when you go in and out, you'll never forget the love of God. God wants to decorate the inside of my life. He wants to fill the chambers with that which is valuable. Secondly, He always wants to decorate it in beauty. The word pleasantness has to do with attractive and beauty. It's pleasing, pleasant. It's pleasing to the eye. It's something that's attractive. God wants to design your life so that the Holy Ghost is very comfortable in His surroundings. That is, there's no quenching or grieving. You know, the Bible says that we're to praise God, Brother Greg, for the beauty of His holiness. The beauty of His holiness. What does God want inside of me? Holiness. To the Holy Spirit, that's beautiful. Because wherever He goes, there's no locked doors. There's no hurdles. There's no boxes still that haven't been unpacked. Let me ask you a question. Is the Holy Spirit being grieved in your heart? Is there something even after Sunday night that it's just not very pleasant to the Lord? Because God says that in the chambers of the house that is built by God, it says that those chambers are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. He wants to design my life so that what comes in comes out. He's comfortable. In Acts chapter 6, there was a group of men that were comfortable with the Holy Spirit. And there arose a murmuring among the Grecians because their widows were not attended to in the daily ministration. So they came to the apostles and they said, "Hey, look, our moms, our aunts and our grandmas that are widows and widows indeed, they're not being taken care of, and this is a need." And so the apostles made this statement in Acts chapter 6 and verse 3, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer, to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And so what did they do? They went looking for people that had that kind of decoration. They went looking for people that had something on the inside that was coming out. Choose you out among you. Now look, man cannot see what's on the heart, but even a spiritual man knows that what's on the heart comes out in the body and in the life. So what did they do? They looked for the fruit. They looked for a building of God. They looked for someone who had these characteristics. And lo and behold, the Bible says, "And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when he had prayed and laid hands on them, and the word of God, because of this, increased. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith." Why? Because there was a group of men in a church that decided, "I want God to be my contractor. I'm going to give Him everything that He requires. I'm willing to pay the price. I'm going to make sure that I have the right building materials and they're delivered on time. And I'm going to give Him over and I'm going to let Him decorate everything about my life. I'm going to let Him have free reign so that He can put everything valuable and everything beautiful in me. Because what goes in always comes out." There's a third way He decorates, though. He decorates not only in value and in beauty, thirdly, in utility. Utility. You see, the life that is designed by the Holy Spirit of God is really designed to be used. That's what the word utility means. It's to be used. And he designed it for use with two things in mind: habitation and impression. What does he want out of me? He's going to inhabit me. He wants to decorate me so that he can impress. Now, for us, that sounds arrogant. But for the Holy Spirit of God in the gospel, that's apt. In other words, whose impression is he trying to leave? Certainly not ours. He's trying to leave the impression of Christ. We're supposed to be reflections of that. And God says, that's what I want to design you for. I want to design you so that people see what I'm working in, that it comes out. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You see, God says, I'm not decorating in here just for the sake of my comfortability. I'm decorating in here because I know that if you allow me to put peace here and love right here at the door, and you allow me to put the joy of the Lord over here in your gym, because it's your strength, I know what's going to come out. It's going to be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, and temperance. That's what people are going to see, because I want to use you. I decorate and design for utility. You see, there's only one question left to ask, and that is this. If you're willing to and would like God to contract with you to design and build your life, are you willing to pay the price? Jesus said, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and is not able to finish. What's the price? Well, praise the Lord, God takes installments. Installments. So wait a minute, Pastor, you get into work salvation? No, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about, what's it going to cost you every day? Instead of making monthly payments like you do for your mortgage, God says, I need daily payments. I need daily payments of humility. You're going to have to crucify yourself to this world. I need a daily payment of obedience. I need you just to trust me and obey. And I need a daily installment of cooperation. If you're willing to do that and give me the materials that I need to build your life, I'll do it, and I'll do it for my glory, and I'll use you. Jesus said one day, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built a house and dig deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, and against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Who's building tonight your life? The Bible says, Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Man, let's just leave here tonight and say, God, I want you to design and build my life. I want to dig in your word. I want to give all the materials I possibly can and present them to you. And Lord, hands down, I want you to have every chamber of my heart. I want you to have your name subscribed under mine, so that when it's all said and done, all people are going to see is Jesus Christ. Lord, we sure love you, and we thank you for the precious, inspired, infallible Word of God. And Lord, we thank you that we have it tonight. We thank you that we can read it tonight. We thank you that we can assemble to study it tonight. Now, Lord, we'll thank you for how we can apply it tonight by your grace. Now, Lord, I don't know how people have taken the message for themselves. That's between you and them. My job is to proclaim the truth and try to do my best to give the sense so that they can have it. Lord, I wanted to bring the cookies down to the very bottom of the shelf tonight so that we could all partake. And I pray that's been the case. I pray that we would all have a desire to let you build our life. I pray that we would be willing, even now during this invitation, to say, God, I want to make the first installment. I want to humble myself to you and ask you to forgive me. I don't know what we need to do tonight, but I pray that we'd be willing to do it. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you may need to come tonight to this altar, and you may need to do some humbling, maybe there in your seat. Say, God, I started off strong on Monday, and after Sunday night, I was doing well. In the last couple of days, I've not been very obedient. I've not been very cooperative with your Holy Spirit. I want to ask you to forgive me. Just take full responsibility for what has either done or not been done. Own it. God's faithful. He knows how to deal with people like us. And then look and say, now, Lord, I want to obey you. I'll look for you tomorrow. And whatever you show me in my life, I will obey you. I'll commit that to you. God, I want you to design the inside. Whatever's in here doesn't belong. I want you to show me so I can take it out. I want you to do the building. Let him have your life. Let him build it so that others may see and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's do business with God tonight. Let's all stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed as the pianist begins to play. If you feel like you need to come to this altar tonight, then I want to invite you to come. If you want to pray right there where you are, I just want us to do business with the Lord. Every Christian praying, not for someone else that needs a message or, oh, you know, so-and-so sitting over there. No. Pray for you.